This is News Talk Radio 1450 KFIZ. Good morning, all dear friends in Christ, and welcome to the First Presbyterian Church radio ministry. A portion of our service has been recorded just for you.
Our first scripture this morning is taken from Isaiah. And actually, this passage foretells the birth of Christ. And it's rather fascinating to me because it was written 700 years before Christ was born. And, you know, you think of those people that waited all that time. And, you know, we're looking forward to the birth of Christ and planning. And here we are. We know Christ was born. We know what happened with Christ, that he died. And we still reject it and don't want to listen. I mean, it's kind of amazing when you think about it. Isaiah was considered one of the greatest men of his time. His ministry was for 40 years. And he was a man of some means in his time, but yet he was a very humble, God-fearing man. He was really an example for us. I only wish that I could be just a portion of what he is. So with that, in Isaiah chapter 11, verses 1 through 10, it's found in the Old Testament on pages 640 and 641. A shoot shall come out from the stock of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. His delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. He shall not judge by what his eyes see, or decide by what his ears hear. But with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and decide with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall strike the earth with his rod, and with the breath of his lips he shall kill the wicked. Righteousness shall be the belt around his waist, and faithfulness the belt around his loins. The wolf shall live with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall graze, their young shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like the ox. The nursing child shall play over the hole of the asp. By the way, an asp is a cobra. And the weaned child shall put its hand on the adder's den. An adder is another poisonous snake. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. On that day, the root of Jesse shall stand as a signal to the peoples. The nations shall inquire of him, and his dwelling shall be glorious.
Thank you, Carol. Our second scripture reading this morning comes from the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13. And that can be found in the New Testament on pages 163 and 164. The church in Rome, as we talked about this last week, was in an oppressed and persecuted situation. Nero had declared that the fires in Rome were started by the Christians. And so the Christians were all tried and found guilty of arson and sentenced to be executed by being burned alive. So any Christian who was identified or found in the city was subject to a gruesome death without regard to age or status or any of the circumstances. Worse yet, they were not allowed to leave the city of Rome. In order to leave Rome, one either had to be a Roman citizen or have permission to leave, and there's no way that the Romans would give Christians permission to leave. So they were caught in this situation in which they could just as easily be put to death and struggled with every part of their lives, because making a living, being able to support their families, care for each other, was under a lot of stress. the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to the church as a way of trying to provide his support and his love. And two things he talks about in this particular passage are steadfastness and encouragement. Steadfastness is something you present, you have yourself. It is your self-discipline. It is your commitment. But encouragement, the Apostle Paul mentions, as another necessary ingredient to the harmony of the relationships. And encouragement is highly underrated, particularly when things are going pretty well and we feel pretty self-reliant. And what it meant, particularly in the context that the Apostle Paul's using it, was that the source of overcoming, the place from which people's strength and their ability to maintain their faithfulness would come, was from one another, from healthy relationships with each other. It was imperative that the church maintain good, strong relationship, both as a testimony of the nature of God's love to the Roman city, and also for their own capability to overcome the obstacles that were in front of them. So from Romans chapter 15, verses 4 through 13, the Apostle Paul writes, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that by steadfastness and by encouragement of the Scriptures we might have hope. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome one another, therefore, just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the circumcised on behalf of the truth of God, in order that he might confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, 'Therefore I will confess you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name.' And again he says, 'Rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people.' And again, 'Praise be the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let the peoples praise him.' And again, Isaiah says, 'The root of Jesse shall come, the one who raises to rule the Gentiles. In him the Gentiles shall hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.' May the Lord bless us and teach us through the gift of this word." Let's pray. Jesus, our Savior, our Lord, our guide, open our hearts to you and especially to your healing presence. Renew us again in the commitment of hope and peace, and teach us how to encourage each other in steadfastness and in peace. In the name of Christ our Lord, we do pray. Amen. In this Advent season, we are in this time of preparation, this time of opening our hearts, and the focus we want to place is upon the messages and the messengers of Advent. We're focusing on the angelic messengers, and the term angel means messenger, but these messages from God that are here so that we might be able to find the fullness of Christ through this gift of Advent. And this morning, the message we're focusing on is to make peace, or more specifically, to let go of the grievances, the grudges, the hostility, to let go of those things that keep peace from happening in our hearts. Now, it's a funny thing. I usually, in preparation for the sermon, you know, I write these things in advance. Anyway, in preparation, I come up with some illustrations, and as a good pastor, I usually make illustrations that make me come out okay. That's always a very important part of the whole process, is to think of something that will help to get the point across, but it will also be something that would be able to be related to. I had some great ideas. I had good material. I was working on the last draft yesterday, when I started getting messages and phone calls that somebody had created a fake email account to look like mine, and then apparently had taken our newsletter and had sent emails to all of the email addresses in the newsletter telling them that I was asking them to go buy a gift card of any type and to give them the gift card information. Don't ever do that. But there's something about when you are working on a sermon on forgiveness and letting go of grudges, and someone is trying to defraud the members of your congregation in your name, let's just say it's an application of the point that I really wasn't wanting. And the thing about the point that I'd be trying to make this morning is that what we want to do is to open space in our hearts for God's grace by letting go of our animosity, our grievances, and our grudges. What the text would say in application to yesterday's experience is that I need to give forgiveness to this unknown individual, to recognize them as one of God's blessed children, even if I was really upset with them. I'd give myself a C to a B in that particular faith trial. The good news is I understood the concept. The better news was I didn't have either the person or a blunt instrument available at the time. But it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. And a lot of times we're having to practice forgiveness without resolution. In a great many situations, we're in a position in which we have a choice between holding on and participating in the grievances, the grudges, the hostility, the unforgiveness, or welcoming the gift of Christ's love and grace and being present in what God's doing in this moment. You can't do both at the same time. You can't both be holding on to animosity and anger, bitterness and resentment, and experiencing the enjoyment of God's love and peace. And it's a hard choice, because there is this enticing element that maybe we could get even. Given another shot, we might be able to get back at that person or teach them the lesson that they so dearly need. And on our brain comes up with all sorts of justifications to continue to live in our hostility. Well, the truth is this. It's a choice. Do you want the grudges, the grievances, the hostility, the anger, the bitterness? Do you want the peace of the kingdom, the wholeness of the good relationships, the love, the health? It's up to us, and we have to choose. And the message from God is this encouragement to choose the wisdom of the process of forgiveness. It isn't that we just decide, oh, we're going to let go of this, we're going to cease to be upset. Trust me, I'm still kind of ticked off. But I'm trying to make the choice to enter into a process in which I cease to imagine all of the retaliations, revenge, reactions, and instead focus on the grace, the peace, and the love of God. Partly because I just want to enjoy myself. I want to enjoy the gift of love, of grace, of good conversations, of peace. It's the best thing we can do for ourselves. But it is work. And this is the thing which is so significant. The work. The work part of it seems a little unfair. They're the ones that really messed things up. They're the ones that caused us to be upset. They're on the other side of town saying the same thing about us, but that's besides the point. But we feel this sense of entitlement to our animosity and hostility, to our continued resentment. But that isn't the way it works. And on top of that, the message that we end up putting out to the world is the message we live in. We create for ourselves the circumstance of how our quality of life and our spiritual life is going to be. We can either dwell in a place of judgment, hostility, and grudges. Or we can dwell in a place where we know we are forgiven because we forgive. We know that we are loved because we practice acceptance. We know that we don't need to fear because we practice compassion and care. What we choose will have a determination of how things are going to go. In the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Rome, he understood very fully the type of animosity and resentment, the amount of fear and pain these people were suffering. And he also knew that under those circumstances of stress, it is extremely hard to keep it together. It's very hard to maintain good relationships. And so this is why much of the letter, and it culminates in this part, he talks about steadfastness. That's your job. To maintain consistency. To seek to practice your faith. But steadfastness won't do it by itself. You don't get yourself through the hardest trials just by your own self-will. Encouragement means we have relationships that are healthy enough and strong enough that somebody can speak to our heart the message of healing, forgiveness, and peace that we need to hear at those crucial times. Encouragement means that we are in a place where we are able to be open with love to the people around us. And these combination of things create what the Apostle Paul beautifully refers to as a harmony. Harmony is such a great illustration at that point. Because harmony doesn't mean everybody singing the same note. Quite the opposite. It means that there are multiple notes, multiple ways in which God's love is being expressed. The focus is not upon conformity. The focus is upon blending, upon using our gifts together, about drawing strength together. And in that fashion, we create a message that goes out into the world around us and shapes our experience of what's happening in the world around us. When we get this right, Christ is portrayed as healing and whole, grace and reconciliation to all of the world. When we're able to do this well, the church is the place where wounded souls go to find hope and healing. When we get this wrong, not so much. And part of it is not easy. It's really not easy to take these wounds and to work with them. And everybody's got a different practice. Everybody has to have a different way because we all deal with these things a little different. That's the harmony part. Your note's going to be different than my note, but it has the same basic principle to it. The first is, in order to forgive, you have to not only believe in God, but you have to believe that God has your best interest at heart. That God is not setting you up. That God is not forgetful or clumsy or indifferent. You have to know God and you have to know a nature of God in which God is loving, consistent, and compassionate. Even in those times in which we don't understand what God is doing or why these things happened, to actually believe and trust in God is a necessary part of being able to be open to forgiveness. Because without that, what we're just trying to do is deny our own feelings rather than give them over that God would be the one to bring justice. Whatever this person who originated the email, whoever they are, God's problem is to bring justice, not mine. And so I have to just let it go. And again, I need to let it go. And again, I need to let it go. You're getting the point? So it's a practice. It's not something that we can do easily. We have to work at it. The good news is the more we do work at it, the more we practice it, the better we become. The less we tend to cling on to the grievances and grudges. And we place our hope and we place our expectation not in our own control or retaliation, but we begin to place it in God's love. And then we begin to bear the fruit. We begin to experience the release. Because when we are consistent with this, it does become lighter. It does become easier. We no longer make ourselves miserable, carrying the burden of our hostility and all of the past grudges. And let's face it, we all know people who are totally miserable with all of the ways in which they have continued to carry and drag with them every grievance and wrongdoing, the way in which they haul along all of the accountings of wrongs and hostility, and they want to drag us along with that too. It becomes easier once we discover the gift of peace. And this was Isaiah's hope and Isaiah's vision. When Isaiah was talking about all these critters hanging out together, the lion, the leopard, the bear, he had in mind, and the people who were hearing Isaiah, this was a song, by the way, that Isaiah wrote in order that people would sing it to themselves repeatedly. All of those different animals had in them a reference to the nations that surrounded Israel at that time, and the people who were forming alliances one with the other. All of these nations that were entangled in these convoluted, who's going to fight who for what? And Isaiah was saying that God's intention is through the wisdom of God, all of these things will lie down. And the most important part of this is power won't bring justice. Wisdom and the knowledge of God is what would bring peace and justice and security. Especially when in that passage he talks about the betrayal. I appreciated that Carol mentioned the cobra and the adder. Two highly poisonous snakes. Two unseen catastrophes lurking just around the corner. The cobra and the adder represented in Isaiah's song both the things that have done you wrong that you know are there and the ones that are lurking behind the surface that you're not even aware of. And that the child, the innocent, the one who is not with all of the experience to watch out for these things, was completely safe because the wisdom of God and the knowledge of God. See, we figure that it's by our wits that we can keep ourselves straight. And a matter of fact, by outsmarting the ones who are trying to hurt us, we're sure we can make this all work better for us. And the message from God is, get over it. Let it go. That's the real way to win. That's the real way to be full of life. To just leave the fight behind. And in the process of doing that, it's going to take some practice. It's going to take some repetition. It's going to take some consistency of offering these things over to God in prayers of forgiveness and prayers of seeking God's strength over our capability. Putting it in God's hands is only half of it. Then trusting God to hang on to it, that's sometimes the harder part of the equation. But in this process, we come to have knowledge, relationship with God. What we empty out of the space of all of these grievances and grudges, all this hostility and bitterness, gets filled up with something that is far more valuable, far more powerful, and worth it. The message that God is giving us is this great gift. Let go of these things that are just poisoning our heart and instead come to live in the fullness of God's joy, the gift of Christ's grace, the opportunity to celebrate the fruit of forgiveness. The work is worth it. The process bears wonderful fruit. And it is really the true source of our security, our hope, and our peace. Please join me in prayer. Jesus, our Savior, we thank you for your love that is poured upon us freely, and that you give us the opportunity then to shine to the world with your grace. It is work to forgive, but you did it from the cross. You teach us how we can do this every day. Give each of us the opportunity to learn our own practices of forgiveness so that in wisdom, in grace, and in love, we might be able to enjoy and celebrate the fullness of the gifts that you give to us. In the name of Christ our Lord, we pray. Amen.
This has been the First Presbyterian Church radio ministry on Sunday morning. We invite you to listen each Sunday and to visit our church located at 1225 4th Street Road. Two Sunday morning opportunities to worship are being offered, one at 8 a.m. and one at 10:30 a.m. Sunday school for children and adults begins at 9:15 a.m. Thank you for listening. This is News Talk Radio 1450 KFIZ.